The Courtship Gift, Act 1, Scene 1, Toy Mistress.
How soft and strong are my mistress's thighs. How good tastes her love cup between them. Even when she is not yet fully aroused by the workings of my lips, my teeth, and my tongue. How lucky am I to have been given the task of pleasing her. How deep is my love for her. I would do anything to give her pleasure. I would gladly give my life for her. Should she ever so desire, should she ever honor me by offering to take it.
My toy is pleasant to look at and to touch, with her slim body, her small and firm breasts, and her long, flowing hair. Her skin is smooth, her lips are full, her eyes are dark and large. She is skilled in giving pleasure, with her fingers and mouth, her tongue never tiring. She is devoted to me, willingly caters to my wishes and follows my orders, and she never flinches or pleads, however severe the pain, from any torments and punishments which I hand out to her, for her own education or that of others, or when my mood so directs me. Often her ministrations have given me strong and pleasurable orgasms. Today, though, as often during the last days, weeks, and months, my mind is distracted by thoughts of another girl. One whom I do not possess, one whom I have only seen once, but whom I have to make mine, or happiness will forever elude me. From the window of my stately house, I have seen her paraded through the street that leads from the port to the Queen's Palace, in front of a group of captives, taken in one of those skirmishes that erupt every now and then, in the waters and on the islands of our beautiful archipelago, for no particular reasons but to exercise skills in fighting, and to take captives, to kill them as a deterrent to our enemies, or to make them our slaves, or, as the savage cannibals do, to sacrifice them to their goddess and to eat them at their ghastly ceremonies. This captive girl was from one of those savage tribes. She walked in front of the group, naked, her wrists bound behind her back, but despite her bonds and completely ignoring the taunts and jeers from the crowd, and the rotten fruits and fish that were thrown at her and her comrades, she walked with such poise, such dignity, letting humiliation not take away anything from her stunning beauty. What she displayed to us as if from her own free will, and not forced by the commands of her captors. Not to flaunt, but to share with us, unself-consciously, the gracefulness of her body, which nature and self-discipline had given her. She did not lower her eyes, but looked around at the people and buildings around her with interest. And though not knowing the fate that awaited her, whether she would live another day or not, and though still bleeding from a battle wound at her side, neither fear nor pain showed in her face, and neither awe of nor contempt for the enemies who had overwhelmed and taken her. I saw her only for the time it took the captives to walk by my house, and only for one short moment. As she looked up, our eyes met. But this moment was long enough to burn her image indelibly into my mind. And ever since, I know that there is no happiness for me without her. I have learned that she is the daughter of a cannibal queen, and, as a princess, rules over her own small island. Brought to our queen's palace as a captive, she was not made a slave, nor was killed, but was treated with respect owed to her standing, tortured with care not to cause permanent injuries, and raped not only by the queen's guards, but also by the highest dignitaries of the court, before she was brought back to the harbor and given a canoe of her own, in which she departed, her release, a political gesture towards her mother, the powerful queen of a fierce cannibal tribe. This girl, so unlike any other, who has ever caught my eye, I have to make her mine, and a plan is forming in my mind of how I can achieve this.
I can feel, smell, and taste with my tongue that my mistress is beginning to lubricate, proving the onset of sexual arousal, whether evoked by my ministrations or by pleasant thoughts of her own. I'm happy for her, and will increase my efforts to let her enjoy a strong and satisfying orgasm.
There is only one way I can think of how to win me this cannibal princess, and this will need another girl to die for me. For my plan to succeed, she has to die willingly, even though her death will be slow and painful. It has to be a girl who is really devoted to me, who is skilled and attractive, and who will not flinch from pain and death. Whom better suited for this task could I find but the toy who this very moment is eagerly at work between my thighs? It's a pity that I have to lose her, but her life will be a small price for me to pay, for winning my wish with the girl I desire. In fact, the thought that I will send this toy, who is pretty and has always done her best to please me, to an agonizing death, is heating up my sexual arousal. When I think of the tortures she'll suffer to serve me, I feel my orgasm building up.
I hear my mistress breathing heavily, and now she grips my head with her strong hands, causing me sweet pain as her fingers entwine my hair, and her nails dig into the skin of my scalp, ripping out some strands of hair and drawing a little blood with her nails. She presses me against her body and grinds my face forcefully against her crotch. I am close to drowning in her joyful wetness, and I do not fight for air, because to die for her mistress's pleasure is the best that a toy can ever hope for. I feel her orgasm coming, as my mind sinks happily into the blackness of suffocation, my life resting in her generous hands.
Ah, my climax, my orgasm, my cannibal princess, my toy whom I will send to her death! Marvelous spasms shake my whole body. My mind is filled with pleasure and joy. I am happy. I will win my wish.